Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and Pastors Richard and Helen Kabakian can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Have you ever been shocked by some new information that you were given, whether you found it through the internet or someone told you, that totally contradicted something that you always believed? And you're like, someone gives you some new information and you're like, nah, man, that's not the way it is. It's like that. And then they show you the truth and you're like, wow, I've always believed this, but this is actually the truth. Anyone ever experienced something like that? Yeah, about, you know, just some things about people or about how the world works or about a particular animal or, well, I had this experience recently. See, I was of the era of Wile E. Coyote chasing the Roadrunner. Does anyone remember Wile E. Coyote chasing the Roadrunner? I used to remember getting up on Saturday mornings and watching that little rascal chase that guy, beep, beep, you know, and sort of doing his thing. And I used to love the fact that he could never catch him, and because he was fast, the Roadrunner was faster than the coyote, and he was never going to catch him. And I enjoyed that till I was about 10. Then one day I had this deep, dark thought. I want Coyote to catch the Roadrunner. Does anyone remember that dark day? Come on, did you ever have that dark day where you go, I want him to catch the Roadrunner? And because he was always a bit cheeky, that Roadrunner. And so anyway, it was never going to happen in my lifetime. It didn't happen. But I have since discovered that, contrary to popular belief, see, I thought he could never chase him because, as you can see in that picture, Roadrunner is much faster than a coyote. That's why he's never going to catch him. But the truth is, a Roadrunner runs at approximately 32 kilometres per hour and the coyote can run at 69 kilometres per hour. What's going on with that? Warner Brothers? What's going on with the lion? Because that's not the truth. He would have caught him every time and eaten him every time, because that's what they do. And so anyway, I got on YouTube to find out, surely by 2016, someone has created an episode where the coyote catches the Roadrunner. And for those of you who want to know, you can find it on YouTube. Please do not do it right now. I don't recommend it. There's a lot of swearing in it. Don't show it to your children. But it does satisfy some desires inside your heart. Wile E. Coyote finally does catch the Roadrunner. Actually, if you watch the full episode, it goes for about 2 minutes, 38 seconds. Not that I've watched it too many times. But he actually catches the Roadrunner. He kills him by accident. He can't believe that he's killed him. And he actually then eats him with a friend. Yeah, it's really awesome. And he talks about how satisfied he is, having worked so hard all these years. He goes, you know, I just really feel satisfied that I finally killed him. And then his friend says to him, so what do you plan to do now? And he looks at him and he says, I've got no idea. This is all I've been trying to do for the last 20 years. And then so he loses his identity. He doesn't know what to say. He starts working at a cafe. True. Wile E. Coyote starts working at a cafe. And people get their orders wrong and they have a go at him. And he says, don't you understand? I'm going through an identity crisis. And so then he becomes an alcoholic. Wile E. Coyote, yeah, he becomes an alcoholic. That's the rest of the story, guys. You've got to hear it. And then he becomes an alcoholic and he's really depressed. And so he's going to kill himself he gets on a catapult. He's going to catapult himself into a brick wall. And then he has an epiphany. And you don't quite know what the epiphany is until it cuts to another scene where he's sitting with this other guy at a coffee shop. And he says, yeah. And then I just had this moment where I just realized what I was born to do. And then he says, what I want to do now is just talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Wile E. Coyote actually becomes a Christian. Yeah. Look it up for yourself. I'm not a word of a lie. It's filled with profanities and swearing and a whole lot of stuff. But I'm telling you that to say, forget about the cartoon. Coyotes are faster than roadrunners. And that's it. In Jesus' name, guys, God bless you. Have a great day today. Isn't it amazing when you discover some new truth? I discovered some other new truth. So, for example, those of you Bon Jovi lovers, do you remember this song? So, she says, we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference. Okay, well, most of you guys got that right. Some of you were with me. But I thought it said it doesn't make a difference if we're naked or not. So that's what I've been singing in nightclubs for the last few years. I used to sing in a band. I was wondering why everybody would look at me strangely when it would come to that section of the song. And but apparently he's singing, it doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. It sounds very similar, though. You can understand the... And the way he dresses, I thought that's what he was actually trying to say, that he was, doesn't matter if we're naked or not. But it's good to always know the truth. And I'm telling you that because I used to read a passage in the Bible where I believed X, but really having looked at it further. And some of you are going to say, it's so obvious. Like it's, but you know what? There's a lot of things that I think are obvious that you don't quite know yet. So let's just be very gentle with each other. But I read this passage many, many times. I read it to my children in their books and so forth. And so let's read it together. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. This passage comes at the end of Jesus preaching the largest sermon in one go that we see in the gospel. So Jesus starts preaching the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are those who. He starts that in Matthew chapter 5, and then he goes on in chapter 6, and he keeps going in Matthew chapter 7. And the end of chapter 7 ends with this little story. And it's a parable. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I used to read this story to my children in their first children's Bible, and it was illustrated. And the way that it would paint the picture was that the first guy who built his house on the rock was a really well-to-do, smart guy, and he builds this beautiful home. And if you look at the home, all the windows are in place. The roof looks right. The doors are in place. And then it talks about the second guy, and it paints the second guy out to be this really lazy, dodgy person, and his walls are on an angle, and his roof is half falling apart, and he's actually snoozing in between two palm trees. And it's painting him out to just be this really lazy person, and his house just looks dodgy. Does everyone know what dodgy means? For those international people listening to the podcast, that means terrible, a terrible home, a home that looks like it's about to collapse. Seriously, the Polish guys are going, dodgy? What is dodgy? Yeah, you've got to explain some things. Some of you need to yell out sometimes and say, explain it! Some of you would say that for my whole message, but don't be mean. Here I am showing my kids this parable, and you can easily start to think that the reason this house fell was because the house itself was not built well. And I think we get that illustration or that illusion from another story called The Three Little Pigs. Do you remember The Three Little Pigs? And the first person built his house out of straw, and the second one built it out of sticks, and then the third one built it out of bricks. That's the part. That's why Rob became a builder, by the way, because he wanted to build a house that was out of bricks, and not tilt slab, bricks. And so, as we know, the wolf comes along and he says, "I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down." And the houses did blow down, not because of the foundations, but the houses blew down because of their structure. Is that right in the Three Little Pigs story? Well, what you've got to be careful of is that that's not what Jesus is saying at all. And this is the truth that I would love to bring into your life. If you already know it, that's great. But if you don't, this is going to be really helpful for you. This message is not about building a better house. Jesus' story was not about building a better house. It's about building on the right foundation. And you can easily read that story and think, oh, so, you know, I've got to make sure that I really get it right. I've got to get my life right. My house has to look great. But Jesus is not drawing any type of analogy suggesting that the house was a bad house. The story isn't about building a better house, but a better foundation. Why is it important to build a strong foundation? Because as beautiful as a home that you may build, if the foundation isn't right, it will collapse. It will collapse. As we can see here in China recently, they built some apartment blocks. That's a brand new apartment block that's just been built. There was a series of them, and that one there just simply fell over. And you'll see why, because there was water that was seeping in from that river. And they were trying to do some works to create another man-made river that ran right alongside that, but the water was seeping in and it created an unstable foundation. If you look carefully and look at the building itself is still intact. It didn't break in half. It didn't fall apart or crumble. The building itself was awesome. What wasn't so great was the foundation that it was built on. And what Jesus is suggesting to us in this story is, hey, listen, I'm not so much talking to you about building a better life. I want to talk to you about building on the right foundation. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. And I want to go a little bit deeper in this because Jesus said we have to build right because the storms of life are going to come. They are going to come. And what I love is the person who built their house on the proper foundation and the person who didn't, they both experienced, and I love this about Jesus, the exact same storms. And if you think for one moment that what I'm trying to say to all of us today, that if you build on the right foundation, you won't experience any storms, that's not what I'm saying at all. I am saying that we will go through the exact same things that people who do not build on the right foundation will experience. Jesus made it very clear. The rain, the rivers, and the wind happen to every one of those homes. If Jesus was talking about 18 homes, every one of them would have experienced it. And I think that's what true Christianity is. Jesus doesn't want to save you from the storm. He's going to save you through the storm. Amen. Amen. He's not here to give us a cotton wool life and that we don't experience any trials in life. No, no. Jesus actually said the complete opposite of that. If you actually see in John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he says, in this world you will have, everyone say it, trouble. You will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So if the house that Jesus is talking about represents our life, then what does the storm and the wind and the rain represent? What does all that represent? Depression? Anxiety? Confusion? Heartbreak, financial crisis. Come on. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not going to protect you from that. I'm going to protect you through it. And if you think for one moment, but I come to church and I love Jesus. And so if you're expecting your life to be perfect just because you've done that, friends, that's not the truth. And that's what confuses people sometimes because that's what they've been sold. And that's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus is saying that you will go through stuff like that, but your foundation, because it's right, you will be saved from a house that will completely collapse. Amen? And that's what Jesus is getting. Hey, some of us have been betrayed by great friends. Some of us have been in business with people, and a friendship that you thought you could trust, all of a sudden you discover they're doing the wrong thing by you. Come on, we've experienced stuff like that. Jesus is saying even that situation there, as terrible as it is, should not cause your life to completely collapse. He is saying, that's my guarantee to you. I'm going to help you. This is what Jesus is saying. He wants us to take a look at our foundation today because this is what he wants us to know. If Jesus is holding your life up, you won't come crashing down. That's powerful. If Jesus is holding your life up, your life is not going to come crashing down. So my question to all of us today is, what's holding your life up? What's your foundation? What's the thing that you look to? Every person in this place is building a house. Did you know? Every single, because it's called life. So unless you cease from life, every single person in this place is building a life. And guess what? Every single person in this place is building a house called life, and every one of us are building on a foundation. The question is, which foundation is it on? Is it the Clio magazine foundation? And just listening to what they have to say? Because Jesus is not guaranteeing that if that's your foundation and if tough times come, he's not guaranteeing your house won't collapse if you're on this one. He's only guaranteeing if your house is on this one that your house won't collapse. That's what he's suggesting. Is it the MTV Foundation? Is it the Channel 9 News Foundation? Is it the Project Foundation? Is it, listen, is it my mum and dad's foundation? Because your mum and dad, as awesome as they are, maybe some of the things that they're believing is not completely what Jesus will tell you to do. Are you hearing that? And we've got to get it right today, because there's a lot of new people in the room. And I deal with people all the time. And what's very obvious to me is Jesus gets to the end of his message and he says, guys, I've talked about a lot of things. And he says, if you will listen to what I'm telling you to do and you put them into practice, he says, your life, even though you go through tough times, you will not collapse. You will never be in a situation where you feel like your life has completely collapsed. Hey, listen, your windows might rattle and your roof might feel like it's going to blow off. And you feel like your front door sometimes gets kicked in, but your house is never going to collapse if your foundation is on a rock called Jesus. And that's what he's telling us right here. Because some of the things that he talked about, friends, I see that people are doing the complete opposite. Let me give you an example of what Jesus talked about. For example, just in Matthew chapter 6. So these are some of the things that he spoke about. Matthew 6:34, Jesus says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, you can either build your life on that foundation, or you can build it on this foundation, which says, don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Which foundation are you going to build on while you're driving your car? Jesus, who says, don't think about tomorrow, or this one that says, don't stop thinking about tomorrow? Which foundation do you choose? Which one? Hey, listen, you better worry about tomorrow, buddy, because tomorrow is going to come really quick. And Jesus says, yeah, but don't do that. Let me tell you why. Jesus says, if you do that, you'll end up in anxiety and depression. And we're living in a world full of it, and we're wondering why, because people aren't building on Jesus' foundation. They're trying to do life completely different to what he said to do, and then they wonder why their life collapses. They even get angry at God at those. Have you ever noticed that? When they're like, God, and God says, don't blame me. I told you to build over here and to live life this way. You chose to do what that person told you to do. Don't blame me for your collapse. I told you where you should be building. And I'm going to challenge all of us today that if you're building on that foundation, whatever it may be, I'm going to pray that you uproot your house and build it over here from now on in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, worry is simply an abuse of your God-given imagination. You're supposed to be using your imagination to dream about life and what life could be and what you want to achieve for God, what you want to achieve for your family, how you want to spend your retirement. That's what you're supposed to be using your imagination for. What are we imagining? Oh man, what if I lost my job? If I lost my job, I couldn't pay my mortgage. If I couldn't pay my mortgage, my gosh, and then I'd have to go and sell my house and I don't have any money, so I'm going to have to go live at the Salvos. And then the Salvos is going to be all these crazy people there, so I'm going to go live under a bridge, and I'm going to be living under a bridge, and then these guys are going to come and start kicking me later. How did you end up over here? And your heart's beating and you're all nervous, and that all happened through a thought that you may lose your job? Hey, listen, I've seen people do that. Why? Because they've built on this foundation that says, oh, you better look out for yourself. This world's a horrible place. Jesus says, no, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and all things will be added unto you. I've seen two people lose their job. Two people. This guy's like, how? The economy. And then they try and go for a job interview. How do you think they come across? This person's like, yeah, I lost my job, but God's got it. There's something coming my way. How do you reckon this person goes in a job interview? Who do you think ends up with the job out of the two? The person who has got some stability in their life. How did they get it? Because they're standing on a foundation that is solid and it's strong, and they're doing what Jesus told them to do. Are you hearing this? Come on, we've got to listen to what Jesus is saying, because everything he says makes sense, and science and people and everyone is starting to work at that what he was saying a long, long time ago is actually the best way to live anyway. Are we hearing this? So come on, I want to ask you again, who's holding your life up? What foundation are you on? Because Jesus makes a huge promise. You build on the right foundation, your house is going to stand. What truth governs your life, my life? Is it what people have said about you or what Jesus says about you? I love this. Let me make something really, really clear. People need something solid to stand on. You know what I love when people come into our church? They haven't been for a few years. They come back. They go. They come back. Do you know what they say? You know what I love about this church? We can always bank on you guys just being there. You guys are the only constant in my life. Everything else shifts and changes, but I just know that you guys are going to be there, that you're going to love it. I love that. that we are replicating what Jesus says can happen, that can be some stability. Hey, listen, parents, let me just lovingly, if you're new here today, and no one's ever said this to you, children need a purpose and a plan. Let me tell you why a young kid in a schoolyard goes, ice, yeah, I'll take ice, why not? Because they've got no reason not to. Why not? But when they discover, no, hang on, God's got a plan for my life. God's got a journey for me to go on. No, I can't afford to do that because I'm going to be a leader one day. But where are they getting that from? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 makes it very clear. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Have a look at it. He says, they're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They are plans to give you a hope and a future. Every young person in this room, everyone actually, has got a plan by God, and it's a plan to give you a hope and a future. Do you know when a young person starts to work that out, they go, I can't afford to do that because God's got big things for me. And I know where I'm headed, and I know where I'm going, and I can't. No, man, I've got to be in my right mind. I'm leading some young people up in kids' world. I've got to be an example. And they've got a plan and a purpose. What do I mean? We're giving them a foundation. And every person needs a foundation. I need one, you need one. We don't need a sandy one, we need a rock to build on. Amen. Are you building your life on a career? Is that your foundation? You know, your company may close, and that's okay because God will bring another one. But if your foundation is your career, that's a really shaky foundation. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Hey, listen, my foundation is my spouse. Hey, may they live forever. But we all know the truth. One day your spouse will be gone. Will your house collapse when your partner's gone? It should be a sad day. I say to my kids all the time, hey, listen, when I'm gone, cry a lot, please. Like, don't sort of go, yeah, he was a great man. Yeah, because they're going to think that we didn't love each other. But don't grieve forever. Don't let your life collapse. That's not honoring me by letting your life collapse when I'm gone one day. Don't fall apart. Cry a lot. Really nice Facebook post. Like, you know what I mean? Like, do the whole thing. Put a nice photo up. I've been at one when I'm like, you know, put a nice photo up and do all that, please. But don't fall apart, because I want to make sure that they're on the firm foundation. Why? Because I know where I'm going and so do they. So why would we fall apart? Amen? Amen? That's exactly right. Come on. What's our foundation? Jesus says it ought to be him. What about your confidence? For some of us, our confidence is our foundation. Do you know your confidence comes and goes? That's not a great foundation to have. What about your good looks? Look around you. There's some good-looking people in this room. Look at them. Look at them. Look at the person beside you. They're a good-looking person. Look at them. But I'd hate to tell you. But the wrinkles are coming. And gravity will do its job. Oh, gravity. But you're still beautiful in the... See? That's right. But that's another foundation. And for some... I'm serious. That's why people are going nuts with this whole Botox thing. And you know, if you want to do a bit of that, good luck to you. But all I'm telling you is, you know why some people are doing that? Because their foundation has been their good looks. People telling them how wonderful they are. As soon as they don't get all those comments anymore, boom, 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 boom. I can understand why they do that if that's their foundation. Are you hearing me? Have you ever seen when people go excessive with Botox and not just Botox, but you know, the whole, what's it called? The plastic surgery. You know, have you ever seen? I always think, why do people go so crazy with it? Because that's their foundation. That's what they ought to do, actually. They're actually being sincere. They've actually got integrity because that's their foundation. That's what they ought to do, actually, if that's your foundation. But if it's not, then you can just age graciously. Like Richard Gere. And just calm down. In Jesus' name. What's the ultimate foundation? What's the crux of this message? Listen, Jesus didn't tell us this parable so that you would work really hard and build a better house. The whole moral of the story is work hard to make sure that you are not building on any other foundation than him. Now, why is that important? Let me make it very clear. Because the preceding verses of the ones we just read about the house, the ones that came before that, a group of people, let me go very deep with you right now. This is really frightening. a group of people come before God, Jesus tells us, and they say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And then they go on and tell God how wonderful their house is. We did miracles for you. We are awesome people. We are wonderful. And all they're doing is describing the shutters on their house. They're describing their guttering system. They're describing their beautiful rendered walls. God, look how good my house is. And what they don't realize is the God who is sitting on the throne is not even looking at the house. All God cares about is the foundation. Don't get to heaven and talk to God about your wonderful house, because that's not what gets you into heaven. What gets you into heaven is who's holding up your house. Are you getting this? Yeah, that's the absolute truth, friend. If you've never heard that ever in your life, please hear it again. When you get to heaven one day, God's not going to talk to you about your life. He's going to talk to you about who was holding up your life. He's not going to talk to you about what wonderful things you did or didn't do. He's going to talk to you about who did you put your trust in? Was it yourself or Jesus? Are you hearing this? Let me go just a little bit deeper for you. I just came back from Lebanon talking to a whole lot of my cousins over there who are caught up in a mainline church. God bless them. No problem with that. Except I asked them a question one day and I said to my cousin, I said, how do you intend to get to heaven? In other words, I said to her, why would God let you in? And she started to describe all the wonderful things that she has done. She said, well, I've never lied. You know, I don't murder anyone. Do you know when people do that? I've never... Yeah. And I've got to calm down, all right. So I'm saying to her, so are you saying that you're perfect? She goes, no, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I said, but you think you're pretty good? She goes, yeah. I said, there's only one problem with that. You only get into heaven if you're perfect. 100 out of 100. And she said, oh, who's 100 out of 100? I said, that's a really good question. Mother Teresa said that she was about 80%. Mother Teresa reckons that she was at 80%. I said, look, I think I'm a pretty good guy, but I reckon I'm at about 60%. I said to her, where do you think you are? Between 1 and 100, where are you? She said, well, I'm better than you, but... all right, cuz. Just getting to know each other, but anyway, all right. So she goes, I'm probably just under Mother Teresa. I thought, wow, good on her. Good on you, girl. It's good self-esteem, you know what I mean? All right, that's great. You're just under Mother Teresa. I said, so Mother Teresa's about there, and you reckon you're there. She goes, yeah, I'm like that. I said, the only problem is you have to be here to get into heaven. And she said, what are you saying? Mother Teresa's not even going to get in? I said, no, Mother Teresa was trusting that Jesus will make up the gap. And she said... I want Jesus to make up my gap too. I said, the only problem is you didn't say that. When I asked you how you're going to get in, you talked about you. Her life, her house. Jesus is saying, no, it's about what I did on the cross. It's about what I did on the cross that's going to get us in. So listen, I want to challenge every person from the front to the back, side to side. You may think that you are a 5. Or you may be a 95. Either way, listen to this, either way, if I jump from one building to another, and let's say there's a 20-meter gap between two buildings, if I jump from one building to another and I trip over as I'm jumping and I just simply fall, only having traveled 1 meter toward the building, I would die. Would that be right? I would trip over and then and hit the floor and die. But what if the second person says, I'm not going to do that, and they give it their best shot, and they jump over, and they go 15 metres, 16 metres, 17 metres, 19 metres, 19 metres and 20 centimetres, and they basically miss the edge of the building by 3 centimetres. What's the outcome for that person? Oh, are you kidding me? But they only missed by 3 centimetres, but I missed by 19, but it's the same outcome. And listen, unless you're perfect, you're not going to get to heaven because of your good works. So let's just cut to the chase. Every one of us need Jesus to make up the gap. Now, listen, for some of you, Jesus has to make up the 95% because you're pretty bad. That's good. Some guy at the back, he just goes, well, he knows who I am. All right, that's good. I'm welcome here. Yeah, no, you're welcome here. You're a 90. Yeah, you need 95%, man. No doubt about it. I'm not far from you. Some of you, you only need Jesus to make up 3% because you're pretty awesome. But either way, you can't get there without him.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.